You're listening to the Next Wave Radio Network.
Katie has a thing where she exclusively watches bad movies, I think.
Uh-huh.
I
don't know.
So do we. It's called the podcast, The Editing Bay.
But or it's, my life.
I was just going to say that, David.
Fuck Dallas traffic.
Oh, I'm so sorry, dude.
No, it's nothing. You've got nothing to be sorry about.
Well, but I can't help but think that it's our fault that I'm responsible
no,
for
No, 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 no. No, not at all.
Had
I would have taken the same
6:30.
Route.
Yeah, but half an hour earlier, you would have missed it.
I'd probably still been stuck in it.
Okay.
I probably would have still been stuck on it. You know why? Because on the face of this planet,
yes,
the dumbest motherfuckers in the world live in Dallas, Fort Worth.
You think so?
Uh-huh. No, I'm pretty much convinced that you guys are all the dumbest fucking asshole shitheads behind the wheel of a fucking automobile. And now I had to get that out of my system.
No, I'm glad.
I had to get that out.
I'm glad you got that out of your system. I'm also glad that we broadcast
Katie's
why.
Scott, she's like, God, that's harsh.
No, I want
no,
to
it's
agree,
true.
But I work for... For local government, so
oh,
I'm not allowed to.
But shall not
to.
Be named.
That's right.
Farmers Branch.
No.
What? Nobody's listening.
We got to bleep that out, Jeff. Mark that. We've got to bleep that out. All right. So we're continuing our month of holidays.
Yay.
On the Editing Bay. We are the Editing Bay. My name is Joe.
And I'm Joel.
And we have Katie with us.
Yay.
This evening.
That's
which is
me.
Really fun. We've talked about Katie a couple of times.
Oh,
really?
A lot.
The love friend.
I don't listen to the podcast at all. So.
That's right. Sure. Why would you listen to your boyfriend's podcast who does a weekly podcast?
I hear him talk all the time.
So, but not about
so now she
movies.
Wants to listen to you pre-recorded. Oh, I can't wait to see what he said. So we've got a month of holidays going on the Editing Bay. Last week we talked about Jack Frost.
Yes.
Which gave me the idea of like, man, maybe we should bring somebody in to do like a counterpoint on some of this stuff, because it just so happened that on Facebook I had put out a little send out, hey, does anybody actually like this movie? And Katie was the only one that responded, I did. And I was like, wow. Okay.
I'm here in defense of holiday movies. All holiday movies.
You don't have to defend all holiday
no,
movies.
No, all holiday
okay.
movies.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. So she had written that she liked this one when we were talking about it on Facebook.
Yes.
And I wrote and I was like, hey, look, I told your stupid boyfriend last week
you
to invite
what?
You up because I thought it would have been fun for you to defend the movie. And he didn't see the text until he parked in the parking garage.
I didn't
garage.
Even see it.
Quote, unquote, didn't see the text.
No, because I thought it would have been a great idea, because I was like, oh, who can defend this movie? Because you and I both hated it. And I think you can agree that our best podcasts are the ones where I like it and you don't, or vice versa.
Yeah.
Or Jeff and I both like something and we just gang up on you.
Yeah.
So it would have been a nice counterpoint.
Honestly, I think the best podcasts are the ones where I talk the most. No, I'm playing.
I agree, Joe.
I hate that. And don't let me do that. I don't have any water tonight.
Uh-oh.
All right. So
you're fired up.
So Katie liked this movie, Jingle All the Way, the Schwarzenegger holiday classic, question mark.
They're all classics.
She said she liked it. And so I was like, you know what? Why don't you come on up? She said she had some kind of meeting she had to do.
Yeah.
And
it's very important.
Luckily, it all worked out. And thanks to the traffic being as bad as it was, that's what I'm going to say it was. Even though that wasn't the reason why this was all able to happen, I'm going to blame it on the traffic.
All
and
right.
say it was a holiday miracle.
You took the words right out of my mouth. It's a Christmas traffic miracle.
Okay.
All
so,
right.
So let's get into it.
Right.
This film, it's Schwarzenegger doing the family film thing. So
yeah.
You're not supposed to go into it expecting him to kind of kick ass. And they kind of... They're very subjective as to like whether or not they want him. I don't even think that's the right word in this situation.
I think I know what you're saying.
More of an arbitrary. It's very arbitrary where like he's a family man, but sometimes he's a tough guy, but he's a family man. And you go through this throughout this whole movie, but the basic gist of it is he's a lot like Jack Frost. He's kind of a dad that's letting his family down. And he's trying to prove this Christmas, he's proving that he's a man that can keep his word.
It is so much like Jack Frost. I'm glad you said that. And in fact, after watching this movie, I'm convinced that all dads are horrible.
And only during holidays.
Apparently so, yeah. But going back to what you were saying about him being, having to kind of write around. I mean, you can't not address the fact that he's like a 6'8" Austrian,
yeah.
who's like 500 pounds, pure
huge
muscle.
Guy.
every time they make a movie and it's like, he's just the normal guy. What's the one with him and Jamie Lee Curtis? True Lies.
True Lies.
He's like, no, I just go to the office. I'm just like you. You're going to have to do the Arnold Schwarzenegger, by the way.
Because, all right.
In fact, I got to say that's one of the reasons I picked this movie, because I got a feeling somewhere deep inside of you, Joe.
There's going to be a Schwarzenegger, I think it's going to sound like Van Damme.
I'm hoping so, because I love that too.
Which also sounds like my Connery. So the first thing that kind of struck me when I was watching this, the thing that set up alarms was the 1492 pictures. Uh-oh. I don't like just about anything Chris Columbus's name is attached to,
yeah.
I generally don't like. And that includes like the first couple Harry Potter movies.
Oh, the first two Harry Potter movies are the worst. I'm surprised I stuck with it. They're so awful. If you can get to the third, in fact, I tell people, if you've never seen a Harry Potter movie, jump right into the third. They'll tell you everything you need to know. Just skip those first two. Because they're awful. They're like made for TV tripe. Here's another thing. Okay. Have you seen what this guy looks like, Christopher Columbus?
No.
Okay.
I imagine he's got blonde hair and likes to wear not hats, but visors. He probably likes to wear a visor.
Yeah, because he's just one of, he's like Michael Mann.
He's a regular guy.
It's like you and me, Michael Moore.
But he likes to play golf. Yeah, I imagine him playing golf.
And make movies exclusively with little kids.
Yes.
Like he did Home Alone.
That's right.
Some of the other ones he's done. It's like he only works with kids and animals. And I don't trust people who want to spend all of their time around little kids.
I don't trust anybody who's lacking so much creativity that he names his production company 1492 because his name is Chris Columbus.
Get it? It's funny. Get it? That's, Columbus. What would he have named it if his actual name were Ponce
Columbus
de Leon?
Columbus Pictures. Ponce de Leon Pictures.
There you go.
Pictures de Leon. I have no idea. But anything's better than this 1492 shit. This has nothing to do with the movie at all, though.
No, but it's a harbinger of things to come.
Why don't you take it from here? Okay. I would like for you to take it because I have a laundry list of complaints.
Wow. Okay, so this is going to be a long episode. Huh? We got a hard out. Well, let me start a little bit by, as I do often, talking about what IMDb has to say about this movie.
Uh-huh.
It always has a lot of things to say. First of all, it came out in 1996, the year I graduated high school.
Same here.
And the year I turned 10.
You were 10.
It was made for $75 million. You want to guess how much it grossed?
I saw how much it grossed. Let's,
okay.
If you want to guess,
have any guesses?
I have absolutely no idea.
All right. Well, almost double at $130
million. Yeah.
So it was quite a box office success. Of course, it came out around the holiday season, November.
And it's Schwarzenegger.
And you can't go wrong with Schwarzenegger. And, so I started watching this thinking, because his comedic timing is so bad.
It's really bad.
It's worse than some of his other movies. And so I thought, well, this movie must have predated like Kindergarten Cop and Junior. No. This was at the end of his comedic career.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
He had already done Twins and Junior.
Well, I read on, I think it was Wikipedia, read this entry about like when Sinbad came on, they were originally supposed to cast Joe Pesci as that role. And they ended up getting Sinbad instead because he kind of fit more of the stat. He was tall like Schwarzenegger was.
Oh, I thought it was because I thought there was something between the producer and the director. Like the producer wanted Joe Pesci and the director wanted Sinbad.
Man, no, from what I read, I could be wrong, but from what I read, it's because Sinbad kind of fits a little bit more physically. He's a good foil to Schwarzenegger, whereas
that
Joe Pesci.
Funny.
I think it would have been funny too. Look at Twins. You got DeVito and Schwarzenegger. Why not? But Sinbad, they said that Sinbad improvised a lot of his dialogue with Schwarzenegger.
That's shocking.
And that Schwarzenegger improvised almost all of his reactions to Sinbad.
I would believe that as
and
well.
And you can believe it when you watch the movie because it's the worst. Like you said, the worst comic timing in the world in this movie. And those two have no, like how even Bruce Willis and Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
Even just like over walkie-talkies, there was a chemistry between the two characters.
I agree.
Even when they weren't sharing the same space.
Yeah.
These two were sharing the same space and you would swear they were nowhere near each other. They weren't even in the same area code.
And you know what? That goes for all of the other actors supporting and otherwise throughout this entire movie. You get the feeling.
Except Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman, we'll get to Phil Hartman in a second. Yeah. But everybody else is just overacting, and you feel like they're really trying to overcompensate for Schwarzenegger just sucking the comedic life out of this film.
Now, you know who I feel sorry for the most?
Yeah.
Rita Wilson.
Mrs. Tom Hanks. What is she doing in this trip?
I have no idea. It's not like she's a great actress. She's not a great actress, but I do feel bad for her because she's the one that has to juggle Schwarzenegger and Jake fucking Lloyd.
Oh, wow.
Arguably the worst child actor of our time.
He's got to be. I know last week we talked about Jack Frost, and I was trying to defend that little kid, little Charlie. He wasn't so bad.
He wasn't compared to this kid.
Oh, Jesus. He's fucking, Ian McKellen compared to that kid.
It's Jake Lloyd is giving you in this, and I get he's a kid. Lay off Joe, he's a kid. No. There are talented children that act in movies. Jake Lloyd is not one of them. No. The same shit that you got in that Star Wars prequel,
yes,
where you could tell he wasn't delivering dialogue. He wasn't interpreting dialogue.
No, it's just,
he was just resuscitating how he thought he was hearing the director telling him to say it.
Yep, going through the motions. And it's surprising that, like, George Lucas, this is it says a lot about him. He must have sat down and watched this movie. Like, this must have been his kid's demo reel. And was like, that's my kid. I want that kid in my multi-billion-dollar movie.
The whiner that wants Turbo Man. What did you think of Jake Lloyd's work, Katie?
Terrible.
Yeah?
I
you were reciting his lines in the car, though.
It's true. I've seen this movie.
What's the one that...
more than once. I love this movie, but he's not a good actor.
You can't defend him.
Let's not kid ourselves. We watched Home Alone this weekend, and with Macaulay Culkin, which obviously put me in the wrong frame of mind to watch this terrible movie anyway. But yeah, he's no good.
Yeah,
I can't say anything else.
Dad, you always let us down.
Yeah, and then he goes from like calm and peaceful to yelling. Here's the line I'm supposed to yell. You're never here, Dad. And then I put the phone down. Although the same could be said for Schwarzenegger. He's a grown man.
Again.
The blocking in this movie, it's just like now I have to hang up the phone and walk over here. I am turning into Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He's a successful, and I've got this in one of my first notes. Schwarzenegger's the successful like salesman.
Yeah.
In 96, we had cell phones in 96, yeah?
Yeah. Didn't they have? But barely. You think a successful salesman might be able to afford at least one?
I mean, we're talking about a man whose sales savvy rivals that of Rod in Birdemic.
Ooh, nice callback.
At the very beginning where he's talking, he's making all those calls, and he's like, remember, you're my number one customer.
there it is.
And it's so bad. It's so like, it's okay, he's a salesman and we have to get that out of the way real fast. Let's just have him on the phone and he's just talking to people. Do you think he improvised that or was that all written out?
I think you can tell what's improvised. He's not really a yes and sort of guy or a no but. So anything that's improvised is him just going, well, okay. Like, there's not a lot, or just mugging. Like, his bug eye.
His bug, yes.
Two-thirds of this movie is the last scene from Total Recall.
From Total Recall, where he's where, running
like,
out of air.
The atmosphere is being sucked, and it's like his bug eyes are coming out.
Oh,
so he's got
yes.
that one face. Now, I have to admit, it did make me chuckle a few times. I do love Schwarzenegger.
Well, are you chuckling with him? Are you chuckling because of the work that he's delivering? Or are you chuckling because, Jesus Christ, this is so bad?
The latter.
Yeah.
It's I'm laughing at him.
Did you enjoyed the work?
I genuinely
Schwarzenegger delivered?
Enjoyed it. Oof. Yes, I did. I, but now I'm questioning myself. Was I laughing?
You know,
at how terrible it is. I don't know. I think I was genuinely entertained by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Of course, you were 10 years old, and I have that theory about the 12-year-old theory.
I mean, when I watch it today.
Oh, just now. I mean, there's some positive association going on, I'm sure, in your childhood, when you guys were in a slumber party and all your girls were over playing pillow fights. No, hold on, I'm not done.
I was 10.
I know.
She's 10,
what were you wearing?
God. All right. So, so this movie was there was so much physical comedy. But well, at least attempts at physical comedy. But for a movie trying to be so physical, they told you motivations more than they actually like let you see it unfold. Like you see Schwarzenegger, and he's trying to get out to his son's karate thing. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it.
Yep.
I'm not going to make it. I didn't make it. Like, all right, dude. Like we are watching. We are well aware. I mean, there has to come a point too. Like. This guy, unless he's a complete moron, he pulls up to the school. The parking lot is completely empty.
Yeah.
The lights are off.
And he's still running
He
inside.
Still runs into the school and, like, gets to the gym. And, like, there's just one guy, like, mopping up the stuff. And really, he's like,
A better actor.
I didn't make it.
A better actor would have been able to make that funny, make it sincere. I just don't think he can internalize.
No.
That sort of way. It's he reads the lines and then he punches somebody. Oh my God, does he punch people in this movie? He punches everybody
everything.
In this movie.
And everything.
A reindeer.
And then he fucking.
He did. He cold cocks a fucking reindeer. Like, that happened. That shit happened. There's I mean, can we just stop for a second and talk about the fact that there's a fucking reindeer in this movie.
Oh,
like, somebody rents a fucking reindeer.
It's a Christmas
the
movie.
Phil Hartman character. He's like, oh, I got a reindeer. Like, what kid what kid wants a reindeer in his house on Christmas Eve?
Well, if you can't have a mommy, it's you better have a reindeer.
You better
right?
have a reindeer.
Because that was the Phil Hartman story. It's like,
no,
you know,
I think
divorced.
It's if you can't have the next door neighbor as your son's mommy.
There you go.
Then you get a reindeer?
Yeah,
is that
I guess so.
Second best thing?
Let's talk about the Phil Hartman character, can we?
I loved this character. I loved him.
I think he's my favorite part of the movie.
He absolutely is my favorite part of the movie.
He's still creepy as fuck, and I wasn't sure whether he was just a pedophile at the beginning of the movie or like a serial rapist. There's that scene at the end with him and Mrs. Hanks. What's her name?
Rita
Wilson.
Liz.
Where he's like driving and he's like, get in the car. Like, that's the beginning of an episode of CSI.
You know what though? I put that on the director.
Gong, gong.
That's direction.
Because his
instinct, you see his natural instinct, the way he plays and mugs. He's supposed to be playing a sleazy character. He's supposed to be playing, you know, he is a ponytail and a guitar away from that douchebag that's at the fucking party that decides he wants to just stop everything down. And like, you know what? You're talking up a girl really good. Mm-hmm. And suddenly this asshole with the fucking ponytail and the guitar comes out. He's like, I wrote this song. And like, just starts going. And then all of a sudden the chicks are just like, oh, he writes and plays music. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I have shit to offer too, motherfucker. What? And
calm down, Jim.
Maybe
it's getting a little therapeutic.
I'm bringing a little too many personal things into this.
Some catharsis.
That's what his character was. You know, he's the middle-aged version of this guy. And you saw, you know, with the context clues in the beginning, the women are like, oh, I baked you this, and thank you for doing that. And they were all doting over him, but he wanted the prize.
Is it wrong?
He wanted saggy Rita Wilson.
No, be kind to Mrs. Hanks now. Now, is it fair that... I kind of sympathize with that character. Like for a while.
With the Phil Hartman character?
The Phil Hartman character. Okay, so they introduce him and everyone thinks he's an asshole and even Schwarzenegger is like, oh, it's so great to have a neighbor like you.
I sympathize to a point.
Yeah.
When you start like putting the moves on a married woman.
Okay,
like,
but that doesn't happen until act
it doesn't
three.
Happen until the very end.
The very first introduction, it's like he's helping out the neighborhood. Yeah. He puts Christmas lights
on his house.
Schwarzenegger's
like, asshole, you put lights on my house. Put the cookies down.
No, most people would say, hey, thanks for helping. Good looking out.
Yeah.
You know, all the women on the block seem to love him. Clearly he has something to offer. You know, kind of feel sorry for him because he got divorced from his wife. He's got this kid. He's a single
father with custody of the kid.
With custody of the kid. Yeah, he's helping out.
Yeah.
I mean, motives aside, everything he's doing, he's a good doer.
Except for trying to take a man's wife away from him.
Well, you know, the holidays are lonely.
Because, see, the thing is that's kind of worrying me about this is the fact that you're only seeing Act 3. You're only seeing, like, the actual execution. You're not seeing the maniacal setup of what he's doing.
That's true.
That he has consciously made this decision that he's going to woo this woman, and that's the journey he goes on in the course of this film.
Although, you know what? At the point where it's like, you know, his kid and Ree Wilson's kid and Ree Wilson, and they're in the car and they're going to the parade at the end and they're having a good time and there's smiles all around.
Uh-huh.
I started thinking, well, maybe he would be a better dad. Maybe she should leave.
This is one day.
Minus the fact that he spends the entire movie scheming to get her away from Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Hey, girls like a guy who fight for him. I mean, I think there's a spin you can put on this movie where he's the protagonist.
We are close to 17 minutes into this podcast, and we are focusing on the Phil Hartman storyline. Like, his arc in this movie, is that how just ridiculously forgettable the Schwarzenegger stuff is?
He's the better protagonist. I think it's the antagonist.
There really is no antagonist. Like, he is the main antagonist of
Sinbad
this, of
is the main antagonist.
He's not, though, because they really set him up. They set him up to be very sympathetic in that diner scene.
Yeah.
They talk about
yeah.
After Schwarzenegger pushes his car at least 5 miles to get to this diner, because he busts down on like the bridge over Lake Minnetonka. This is in Minnesota.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. We thought Chicago. We were trying to figure out where.
Oh, no, because Phil Hartman says that Lake Minnetonka or something like that. That's in Minnesota.
It's hard to tell because the entire thing looks like it was shot on a set in L.A. And I think it was.
No, actually. You're absolutely right about that. Yep. There really are very few context clues that show you like where this fucking movie is taking place.
Yeah. And for that matter, the whole movie looks like a made-for-TV movie, like just poorly
production-wise.
Yeah,
I agree with you
it's
on
like
that.
A B movie.
I do agree with
anyway,
you.
Anyway, continue.
That. I can't remember where
Sinbad.
I was going with that. Oh yeah. Sinbad. So Schwarzenegger pushes the car to that diner, and then you know he ends up sitting there and he's just kind of lamenting. Oh, I cannot get the doll for Jamie.
Jamie with a CH.
Jamie.
Jamie. Every time he says his name. Jamie. So you can't even pronounce your fucking. Don't name him Jamie. Don't cast Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I got so sick of hearing that name by the end of the movie. So he goes to the diner. He sits down. Turns out Sinbad's right next to him, and he's like, "Hey, man, you ain't found that doll yet." And he's like, "No, I haven't." And so he talks about. He shares a story about like, "I wanted this one doll when I was a kid, and I never got it." And you know who did? This kid who lived next door. And he grew up to be a millionaire.
A millionaire. You know? Because he got a doll.
Because he got a doll. Because
his daddy gave him a doll.
Because of but, you know, I get the, I understand how shallow of a story that is. That, like, that's where we're going with it. But the fact that he does open up.
Yeah.
He opens up personally more than the Schwarzenegger character does.
That's true.
Which is kind of completely fucking stupid in a movie like this.
You know what? It felt like they were going for the John Hughes. It's almost John Candy, Steve Martin. Help me out.
Yeah, Trains and Automobiles.
Where he's supposed to be like kind of the lovable oaf, and you just kind of see him as a sidekick character, but then he has this moment to.
Well, he has that moment where he says, like, how about we team up? Let's team up and get this thing.
That really didn't make a lot of sense for me. How is that beneficial to anybody?
Well, they team up and find it.
They find what, one? Best case scenario, they find one.
Well, they help each other. Haven't you ever been in a situation like that where you're like, okay,
yeah, I'm like,
we
fuck
need
everybody.
To find this. Wow. Wow.
That's the man I'm dating.
No, that's true. But I'm just saying, if you're in a situation that Schwarzenegger's in.
Where he's having to purchase his kid's love. Like that's ultimately what happened.
You know who the antagonist is in this movie?
It's Jake Lloyd.
Capitalism.
It's consumer.
Oh, sorry.
Consumerism. That's what this movie is. It's a statement about the state of our culture today
and
how Christmas has become a consumer commodity.
And
there it is.
You watch the videos now of like Black Friday stuff
and
people getting in fights in malls. You know, you watch this movie back in the day, it wasn't as bad.
Crystal ball.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
A bouncing crystal ball that Schwarzenegger has to chase throughout a mall.
And then molest a child.
Oh, my
right?
God.
Right. Attack a child
what
to get a ball
fuck
back.
What was that scene about?
Sprinkling of Down syndrome.
Like, seriously, there's like 8 million bouncing balls he could have grabbed instead.
Well, first of all, let's think of the logic. So you're a toy store owner, and you've got this hot item, and there's people just clamoring to get it, and there's, you know, droves in your So what are you going to do? You're going to have a lottery. Okay, let's do fair. First come, first serve.
Uh-huh.
So let's make them bouncy balls and then just toss them up into the air.
Didn't Walmart use balloons this year? Didn't they hand out balloons to people?
I think they did.
I mean,
but at least those don't
fly away.
Inside a riot. That was just like, were they helium balloons?
Yeah, maybe. They were helium balloons.
Oh, okay, maybe that's ill-conceived
well,
as well.
There's inherently a problem with the whole fact that, like, you tell people, hey, line up. Line up orderly.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hand these things out.
First come, first serve.
And instead, you know, it's a riot. And I get this. We're watching a ridiculous physical zany comedy.
Yeah.
But even stuff like that, just it's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch because you're just, why are people such animals? Like, there's no reason this should be like this.
And you know what? I kind of appreciate, I remember seeing the trailers for this when I was a senior in high school. Sorry, putting a date on it. And thinking that, here's a unique movie. I don't know. Has the story been told? Like, what Katie was talking about, you know, the consumerism, the capitalism side of it, and how it's kind of, you know, we've turned this holiday into
it's basically a Christmas story, but a little more violent.
Yeah,
the kid wanted the BB gun.
Yeah, but it wasn't about, you know, sacrificing what's important in family. I mean, the entire movie,
Schwarzenegger. Yeah, that's what the problem was in this movie, that there wasn't a significant lesson being taught here.
Yeah.
It was if a kid whines and cries enough and you feel guilty enough, you're going to buy them buy their love.
Yeah. And at the end, though, I mean, you know, Jake Lloyd, little Annie.
Wait.
Okay.
Before we get to that, all right, there's so much, like, I got so much ridiculous shit.
I have extensive notes as well.
Like, at one point, while Schwarzenegger's trying to find this Turbo Man doll, there's, like, a montage. And you remember this, like, he's
everyone
going
laughing.
And people laughing and showing him, like, different dolls, the different characters that he doesn't want.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, he walks past the Children's Museum.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah. No, he walks right by and it says, like, Minnesota Children's Museum or something like that. What is he expecting to get at the fucking Children's Museum? Like, do they sell fucking toys at museums like that?
I didn't even notice that.
No, you didn't?
That's bad production.
That's horrible production. All right, no, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No. Well, mine was more about the theme, just of, like, capitalism. And I know that's what they were trying to go for. And I appreciate that. There's a story
we
about...
We might be giving them too much credit.
I think we are. In fact, I know we are because they ended up making Turbo Man toys.
Uh-huh. And it comes full circle.
To try to sell in, you know, with this movie. And if you look on eBay now, they're going for like $150, $200.
That is a pretty cool toy, to be fair.
No, it's not.
It's got a jetpack. Come on.
It doesn't actually do anything. No, I
kind of like this movie.
I was mostly kidding when I said it was a statement on consumer culture.
No, it is.
But I don't think that's what they were going for. I'm pretty sure it was just supposed to be a fun family film.
Okay, it's a comedy, but it was also a satire. Like they were going for the satirical angle.
The problem is satire. You could tell it's satire because the name of the main character, Howard Langston. Howard Hughes. Mm. Langston Hughes.
Oh, damn. Yeah. Wow, right there.
Uh-huh. Howard Hughes character trait, I mean, you saw that, like the self-involved businessman, you know, motivated, doesn't always put the right thing.
Nicely done.
Yeah, well.
Wow.
You know,
it's
not very hard. You just sit there and you hear a name like Howard Langston. Like, what a weird fucking name that is.
I forgot what his entire name was. Did anybody ever call him by that name? I guess so.
Well, he called himself like...
Sinbad just refers to him as Buddy and Pal.
My main man. Rita Wilson calls him Howard all the time.
Yeah. Okay, I guess so.
But then like Phil Hartman will be like, hey, Howie Lang.
Howie, yeah, all right.
He even calls himself like Agent Lang in the toy bust with Jim Belushi.
Yeah, nice.
When he finds the toy badge. Yeah. It's so bad.
Well, there you go.
Jim and Belushi.
You know what? That's the other highlight.
The little Red Heat reunion.
Oh my gosh, it is, isn't it? Yeah. I didn't realize that. Wow, how far they've fallen.
Had they fallen? Because now he had like one of the hottest freaking sitcoms since then.
Was that around that same time?
According to Jim, no.
That was way after.
According to
Jim's
way after this.
Okay, that's what I thought. So this is on hard times for Jim Belushi, right?
Yes.
Still living in the shadow
of
his
dead
brother.
This is the canine years for Jim Belushi.
I like that. Oh, no, I didn't. It was Turner and Hooch.
You like Turner and Hooch.
Yeah, thank you.
With Mr. Rita Wilson.
So the theme was trying to be satirical, and they were trying to say something through this comedy. But unfortunately, it's overshadowed by... Everybody has anger management issues in this movie.
Yeah,
Sinbad, how he makes it through the first act without like being arrested. He's like accosting people in the line at the beginning when he loses when he starts to like flake out.
Oh yeah,
when he's talking about you know how hard his job is.
Yeah,
and then like builds a bomb.
The baggage bomb.
Well, bombs are funny, right?
Yeah,
pre 9/11
bombs are funny, especially you know terroristic threats and radio stations.
Domestic terrorism. Yeah,
that's a thing that I put down. I was like, hey, remember when bombs were funny?
Yeah, and when one could blow up at the top of a building, and you would cut away and then cut back, and it's just like
just
the old Bugs Bunny
guy.
Cartoon. Yep.
Oh, he's a charred guy.
The
this
bomb
cop.
Blew up.
What is this cop? Is he a highway patrolman or is he like a detective? Because he's everywhere.
He's everywhere. He's highway patrol and then he shows up later.
And then he's like on a float.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He's had a busy day. He's working on a lot of different details. If this were Farmers Branch, cops would be...
No, they wouldn't be anywhere to be found.
They're very busy protecting the citizens.
Clearly.
From Turbo Man. The Sinbad stuff, that it was so... It was so, like, Roadrunner Coyote. Like, I saw what they were trying to go for with that.
Yeah.
But it didn't read at all.
I found myself questioning whether Sinbad was ever funny. Like, in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, Sinbad. Big, lovable Sinbad. He wears the MC Hammer pants. Or, you know, the jumpsuits. He's always doing the HBO specials.
Uh-huh.
Is that all he has to offer, though? He's got the big, toothy grin. And then he just yells at Schwarzenegger throughout the entire movie.
Let's look at the cinematic work of Sinbad.
All right, what do we got?
Necessary Roughness.
Oh, yeah. Filmed here in Denton, right?
Yeah.
Or just
and Jingle All the Way.
Is that really the only two movies?
Those are the only ones I can think of.
Wow.
And then like he did the TV show A Different World.
Yeah, yeah. That's, and even then he was a supporting character.
Yeah, that's all I can remember that he's done.
Well, it's because of performances like this that his career didn't take off. He's embarrassingly bad in this.
But the thing is, the problem is,
yeah.
is that everybody's embarrassingly bad except for Phil Hartman. So you really don't have like a clean litmus test of like where does the talent begin? Where does it end? What level should these performances be at? Because honestly, when it comes down to it, you had a weak script and a director who felt like if you ever seen Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back,
oh, I have.
When they're on the set of doing Good Will Hunting 2.
Yes.
And and they're just like, what's his name? Who directed it?
Van Zandt.
Yeah, Gus Van Zandt is just sitting there counting money behind the camera.
Yep.
That's what I felt like the director of this film was doing, just counting money. While he just called action, and Schwarzenegger was like, okay, I'm going to walk around, and I'll swing across. I'll go in the jungle, Jimmy. It'll be really funny. Watch.
Climbing through balls. Well, let's talk about the director a little bit, because he's also responsible for such classics as Beethoven, The Flintstones. You remember the live-action Flintstones?
Uh-huh.
Are We There Yet? He's got a thing with, like, kids and problem child.
What Joel's actually doing is naming all my favorite movies.
Is one of your favorite movies Snow Dogs?
Absolutely it is.
Then with Cuba Gooding continues. Jr.? Or is that Paul Walker?
No, it's Cuba Gooding. No. Well, I got to look it up.
I can't remember. I think that's Cuba. Yeah.
What was the one that Paul Walker did?
I think Paul Walker did one that called Eight Below or something like that. But he also did like
that was more of a dramatic.
Was it?
Wasn't it?
Oh, I can't remember. Why not? It's not like we've got anything more important to talk about.
It's a fitting tribute to Paul Walker, by the way. We can't remember the name of the Snow Dog movie he was in.
So while you're looking that up.
I'm not even going to look it up.
There's the moment where like Schwarzenegger, again, this very successful businessman who should have a cell phone. I'm pretty sure in 96 I knew like 5-6 people that had cell phones and they were high school students.
All right.
And so I feel like Schwarzenegger should have had a cell phone. It's kind of like the other night they did a screening of The Fast and the Furious at the Alamo Draft House.
I saw that.
And, you know, this movie, God, it came out like in the late 90s, early 2000. So there's a part where Paul Walker's trying to figure out where Vin Diesel's going to be and he's driving his car and he's got a fucking Mapsco. And you're like, what the fuck? People are going to watch that now and be like, what the hell is that piece of paper with all the lines on it? Like, who finds someone by map while they're driving?
Yeah.
That's moronic. That's ridiculous now. But back then, like, that's kind of how it was done. Yeah. But I feel like there had to have been GPS then. I'm pretty sure there was still GPS back then.
Yeah. It's only for the super rich, though.
So
you had to have those bag phones.
Well, then I'm sure he would have had one.
Yeah.
But instead, he had to use payphone. He calls up his own house. Jake Lloyd answers, and he talks about how, like, no, mom's next door petting Ted because they named the reindeer Ted.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of that kind of humor.
And Schwarzenegger keeps telling him, hey, get your mom on the phone. Dad, so are you going to make it to the parade? Because you got to make it to the parade.
You never keep your promises.
You never keep your promises. You got to make it to the parade.
Yeah,
okay, but Jamie, you got to get your mom. Get your mom because I need to talk to her. Yeah, but Dad, you remember what Turbo Man always says. You're only as good as you. Get your mom. Yeah, but the Turbo Man. Listen, I can't talk to you right now about fucking Turbo Man. Get your fucking mom on the phone. And the kid yells at him.
Yeah.
And hangs up on him, and then that's when Rita Wilson shows up and sees what's happened, and her dialogue, damn you, Howard.
Damn you, Howard.
Damn you, Howard.
Mm-hmm. She's seen it all before.
This poor motherfucker is guilty of one thing, providing for his fucking family.
Thank you. This is the same thing with like Jack Frost we talked about last week. This guy's he's doing a pretty good job so far balancing like life and career. You know, he's not on the road all the time. He has not fucking banging around on his wife.
Right.
His kid, he jokes around with his kids.
His kids, what, his kid did you presents. See his kid's bedroom?
Oh,
he
God.
Has a giant fucking Captain America mural on his wall.
Thank you.
I would have fucking died to have that growing up. If my father loved me enough to put a Captain America mural on my wall, I would have worshipped the ground he walked on with my Marvel Comics bedsheets and my Wolverine Spider-Man pillowcases. Yeah, I saw them. Mm-hmm. And Jake Lloyd just sat on them and he's coloring and spoiled little bitch.
I wouldn't need my dad at that
wow.
point. Be like, thanks, you've served your purpose.
You've done enough, Father.
I'll see you on payday.
Father, you have done enough. I thank you for what you've provided for me.
Thank you.
You are such a giving and wonderful father.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And then he force chokes him.
Yeah.
Right? He's the little
and then pod races. And then pod races.
Zoom.
Now this is pod racing. Yeah.
That stupid high five.
Yeah, no, it just, that's the same thing that got me upset with Jack Frost.
Unappreciative.
Not appreciating this guy. This dude that we paint up as a villain in this movie. And I don't mind if we paint up a character to be irresponsible with his family. That's fine. I get it. But if the dude is the sole breadwinner of this family, which wasn't the case in Jack Frost, Kelly Preston was the one that was working at the bank while Michael Keaton was doing the band thing. So they had a little bit more of a case to be upset with the guy. this dude is the primary breadwinner. I mean, they pretty much make it clear that he's the one that has the job. He's the successful salesman. She's the stay-at-home mom, which, you know, noble pursuit.
Okay.
But she's not going to bring in any income doing that. She's not paying the mortgage,
right,
taking care of the kid. Taking care of the kid is just as important, but this dude is doing his job as a father. He's doing a good job, and he's made to feel guilty for it.
Yeah.
And that's why I get upset with a lot of these holiday movies, because you know what? For one, let's put the shoe on the other foot.
Yeah.
Let's see, like, the mom who kind of lets people down and, you're letting us down, Mom. I'm so upset. And, like, I want to see a movie like Adventures in Babysitting, but with a mom who feels like she's letting her kids down. And so now she's got to save Christmas for them.
They would never do that. Hollywood would never.
I guess not. But this typical story of a father who actually does a good job of providing for his family.
Thank you.
Being vilified.
Yeah.
It gets old.
So he forgot to buy a stupid toy, stupid doll for his kid. He'll never remember it when he's going through therapy 20 years from now.
I wanted to jump to the end, but I told you.
No, let's go for it.
So, okay. So you said, you know, this kid wanted this fucking toy.
Mm-hmm.
And ran his father through the coals for this fucking toy.
Yeah.
And his father went through hell and back to get this fucking toy. And the kid gives it up. He gives it away
at the end.
He's selfish for the entire movie. A selfish little brat.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, he decides to be selfless and give it away.
We have a scene where he's physically fighting his friend in the living room of his house over who gets to be Turbo Man.
Oh, that's right.
A child like that does not have a change of heart.
I'm telling you, everybody has anger management issues in this movie. Arnold's punching everybody, Sinbad, you know, building bombs at home and threatening everybody.
He didn't build it, though.
Yeah, it was just a music box.
So we're led to believe.
Well, I mean, but as he's walking away, he's like, oh my God, that was really a bomb.
That was really
which is already fucked up in itself. Like, it was a bomb.
This was after all, like, the Postal Service shootings, right?
When did the Timothy McVeigh stuff happen?
Oh, my God, yeah. 2000.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So this is still predates that.
No?
No.
98,
You're talking about in Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City?
That was before this.
Was it? Was it 94?
It was 94.
I'm thinking of the
all right.
Coal. It was when I still lived in Michigan.
I know it wasn't a mail bomb, but,
yeah.
I mean, still.
Yeah, a lot of lives were lost.
Exactly, and it's bombs aren't funny.
Unless
you're the fucking coyote with, like, a ball with a fucking wick that's hanging out of it, and it's like, oh, shit, I thought I had a bowling ball. It's actually a bomb.
You know,
that's when it's funny. That's the only way a bomb is funny.
And that's a thought that
I had. Or Batman.
True. That's a thought that I had while watching this for the second and last time, was that this would actually make a good animated movie. This could be a if Pixar got a hold of, like, the script and kind of did,
like,
their own twang.
Like Eight Crazy Nights?
Why is it that's the one, like, Jewish-themed movie and it had to be the worst Christmas?
Well, I mean, there's Fiddler on the Roof.
That's a downer. Even
I thought that movie was terrible. A Crazy Night. I actually walked out of the movie theater.
Oh my God.
It was so bad.
You have a Jewish friend who hates it. You think of all people.
Everybody hates that movie.
Everybody hates that movie.
I think even Adam Sandler hated
that movie. Adam Sandler. I don't think Adam Sandler's liked any of the movies he's done in the last decade.
Or the people. I don't think he likes his audience.
No,
because he punishes us.
Contempt for them. But it would have been like a nice animated movie, because so many of the things that happen in here are just, like, way over the top. What I wrote down was tone deaf. This movie to me is tone deaf.
Yeah.
Because the comedy that it's going for isn't funny, and the things that are, like, when we try to get serious, it just doesn't work.
It's too, well, I see, when you say tone deaf, I see it a different way. I see, like, it's almost like the equivalent of, like, a 90-minute Japanese commercial. That, like, everything's in your face. You know, just like
very over the top.
Everything's over the top. And, like, you're watching Schwarzenegger do this weird, like, there's so much weird stuff they have him do in this movie, you know, that we don't need to see. We don't need to see as, like, from a character perspective.
Like him flying with a jetpack at the end?
The scene never ended.
This is
ended.
Where it gets ridiculous.
That scene never ended.
Well, that was their money shot. They had to use it for the trailer. So, yeah, they threw a bunch of money at it. Let's get them flying around, and that's how we get asses in the seats.
It seriously went on for, like, it felt like 15 minutes.
It was fantastic.
Did you enjoy it? Did 10-year-old
Katie
like that?
Thumbs up.
10-year-old Katie, 27-year-old Katie. It was, because I watched this today. Joel's now seen this movie twice in 24 hours.
And that's it.
Never
again.
I loved it. I loved.
I defend this movie. What are you getting from it? What joy?
you know, aside from the sentimental value of this movie.
Did you tear up at the end when Schwarzenegger's like,
no, because
I'm your father.
I was watching the end of it on my iPhone in the parking garage while we were waiting to get started. But I quoted to Joel on the way over here again while I was watching it. I quoted the line where he's,
what is it?
Turbo Man's my dad or something like
that's
that.
That's exactly what
and,
he says.
And it's just so cute because it makes him believe in his dad again. Mm-hmm. But
didn't know it was his dad.
I know that. Let's not talk about the fact that he looks right at him and doesn't see that it's his dad through the clear visor.
What other 6.5-foot Austrian who's built like a fucking ox
could
it be?
That this dude, like seriously, he talks to him like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. Oh, but they modulate his voice so he can't
tell.
But
he's standing right next to him.
It doesn't matter. It's like, a feel-good movie, and I love it.
He was swept away.
When Sinbad like chases his kid up a ladder, and I'm like this.
No,
and like the mom tries to go, and the cop is like, eh, "It's all part of the show."
He's like, "She's not an actor."
What? It's all part of the show. Wouldn't you know this? Like, as security,
the kid's in like grave danger, about to plummet to his death, and everyone's like, "Yay!"
It was shocking.
Let me just fire up my jetpack and go save my son.
So back to the jetpack, though. Okay, so. Do the makers of this movie think that, like, we have this technology to fly around for minutes on end and we're holding it back and saving it exclusively for Christmas parades?
I think so.
Is that the... Okay, well, there you
not,
go.
But see, but not only does he fly, he hits, like, fucking stratosphere.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. He is above skyscrapers.
Uh-huh.
He could have died.
Well over, like, the Minnesota skyline and, like, just...
In fact, yeah. And then never
just like, falls. He
well, first of
falls.
All, he flies head first into like a brick building, and then is just.
I like when he flies over the family having dinner while there's a parade going on.
They're getting ready to pray.
They're getting ready to pray. They're the only family not at the parade.
It's a black family well, too, so they're talking
they don't
about
have to be at the parade because undertones. their windows look out over the parade.
So they're living the parade.
They're eating dinner.
They're eating dinner because they could look out their window and see the parade anytime.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so
I don't feel so bad about that.
It's a comment
segregation
on the higher class.
That they are part of the higher class.
That's right.
Let's see. God,
I just, Minnesota's the state, isn't it?
You're the one.
What city
I think
is
so.
It?
What is it? Where is it?
Minnetonka? What did you say?
Minnesota?
Minnesota's the state.
Is that the state?
Yeah,
okay, what's the city?
St. Paul is a city in Minnesota. The capital, in fact.
You're pointing at me like I should know this.
Is it
I feel like I'm on...
No, Milwaukee's in Wisconsin.
Yes.
What the fuck is in Minnesota?
This is Geography 101.
The Twin Cities.
What are they?
St. Paul.
Yeah.
That's and the Twin Cities?
That's one
Minneapolis.
Of
Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. All right,
Paul.
So the Minneapolis skyline. Like the Minnesota skyline. The whole state.
It basically is.
So no, he like runs on that thing for, again, it's like 15 minutes that he's just burning gas. It's like The Rocketeer.
I was just going to say, in The Rocketeer, they made a good, you know, there was like, all right, you get 90 seconds,
yeah.
And you got to aim with your head.
It's jet fuel. It burns up almost instantly. Uh-huh. Let's talk about the science behind Rocket Pack.
Yeah, because there's a lot of hard facts
and that
in the script here.
He doesn't burn his legs at all.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. And saves the day.
Did you notice at the end when this is right after Rita Wilson and Phil Hartman are in the car.
Yeah.
And
when
he makes his big move mm-hmm. and she like throws the eggnog at him and leaves. And then she finds her kid and he and Jake Lloyd goes, "Look, Ma, Turbo Man," and she starts laughing like a maniac.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Did you notice it?
We're having such a good time.
He goes,
"Look,
Ma, it's Turbo Man," and she goes,
she's overcompensating because she was almost raped.
Fuck. She's laughing like just a.
She was laughing like a trauma
lunatic,
victim.
Like
that's
a
how I
lunatic.
Took it. Yeah.
And that's, shock.
That is commentary on this movie. That is pretty much the summation of this movie. This whole movie is schlock.
Hold on. And so one more thing. So at the end, okay, so Jake Lloyd, Lil Annie, gives the toy away. He's like, "I have the real Rocket Man." What's his name? Turbo Man. I don't need the toy.
Rocket Man's a song by Elton John.
And Sinbad's being taken away by the cops, but he accepts the toy and he's like, what does he say? He says, "Oh, thanks. This will make my son very happy." You know what else might make your son very happy? Having his father there on Christmas Day instead of being incarcerated.
This is part of the thing that I'm really curious about. So is there a mother? Is there
more of those racial undertones?
Or has but I'm serious, has Sinbad left his kid alone all day?
That's a good
is
point.
Is his child alone never all see. Day? Would it you have know. Maybe been a cooler thing in this movie to have his son there at the parade as well and that Jake Lloyd gives the doll to the son?
Ooh. But then the son would be there seeing his dad as the villain.
Here.
And then he's no longer, you know.
Wait, I got that beat. What if it's like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and we find out there is no son or the son is dead?
Oh,
and
wow.
Then and then shit gets real. Mm-hmm. The last scene is Sinbad placing the Turbo Man on his grave.
Oh, I thought it was gonna be the last scene is like Sinbad fucking the Turbo Man.
Finally, you're mine. Gets the KY out.
Wow.
Who's Turbo Man now?
So on that note, Katie, your thoughts on this movie?
Well, I think I've made it pretty clear.
Yeah, you have.
I love this movie. I think it's incredibly entertaining. I was laughing my head off the entire time.
But you although, hated Jake Lloyd.
Oh, no, he was awful.
Okay.
But he of course, he's one of the main characters, but at the same time, most of the good parts that I laugh at don't involve him at all.
Yeah.
Actually, one of my favorite scenes, and it's only like a split second, is when Sinbad I rewatched this a couple times. Sinbad is running through the parade, and he there's the character that's dressed like a box, like a present.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And he goes, get out of my way, box. And he like shoves it.
Over, and then all the other things come over.
And all the ornaments come over and like look at him. I actually paused it and took a screenshot. It's going to be my Facebook cover photo.
We'll put that on the editing bay Facebook page.
I absolutely agree with you. That is hilarious.
My favorite part of the movie, which doesn't say much for the movie, but.
That'll be our new timeline photo.
I love it. No, I love it. That really was one of the standout moments in that movie visually
and then at the very very end, you know, when they're having their little family reunion or whatever, you see like a little ornament, like it's a human size ornament, like kind of just dancing in the background, and it just cracks me up.
did you guys watch after the credits?
I did stick around for the credits.
I missed that part.
Oh wow.
But I know what you mean.
I saw it. Like almost like they were setting it up. Like they were going to franchise this out.
Oh, you think that's the sequel?
Like Jingler more all the way. Or
Jingle
a little bit out of the way. Like just, I can't think of what they would, but it felt like they were going to try to franchise it out.
Jingle even farther.
Jingle even further, farther.
Farther.
Jingle beyond the farthest star.
There you go.
So what happens afterwards? Yes, Turbo Man goes to space.
Mm.
What happens is we open up and Schwarzenegger's putting the star on the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the whole family's looking at it. Ah, it's so beautiful. And
they all talk like him now.
He hugs Rita
Dad,
Wilson.
Give me a hug.
And Rita Wilson's like, wow, it just seeing what you did, it made me realize, you know, like it's amazing. All that work, all that trouble you went through just to get Jamie this toy he wanted. It made me think, what did you get for me? And then he just does and like looks at the camera and like bam.
Son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sequel. Is it Christmas over by that point though? It's like Christmas Day.
It's Christmas Day.
So he's fucked.
Which Christmas Eve goes on forever.
I think
this
the sequel is her filing divorce papers and hooking up with Phil Hartman.
Yeah.
That's the sequel
I'd like to see. That would be fun for her to hook up with Phil Hartman's corpse now at this point.
Wait, is he dead? Oh,
yeah. Phil Hartman should have played Howard.
Yeah, no,
I feel like this
oh,
movie.
Oh my God, so good!
This should have been a Phil Hartman vehicle.
Yeah,
where he's the one that's trying to get the toy.
Dude,
we shouldn't have even had Schwarzenegger.
That's
in this
a great
movie.
Idea because he can be endearing, but he can do the physical comedy. But he can. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
There
Did you
go.
Catch the Chris Parnell appearance in this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Like just overacting, just mugging.
Just
the
Chris
camera.
Parnell shows up and like the guy who played Booger. In
that
Revenge
the
of the Nerds
guy,
is
the
in
two
this.
Store clerks.
There's some weird, like, you know, some weird cameos thrown throughout this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Who's
the midget who's playing Jim Belushi's elf?
I can't remember, but he's in Bad Santa, isn't he?
He's in Bad Santa, and
he's
also
every Christmas midget.
I know. He was in he was on Seinfeld. He's the midget from Seinfeld.
Yeah, that's right.
Who's lifting.
That's right. All right. So I'm going to ask this of both of you.
Here we go.
What did this movie get right?
Everything. No, I don't have a very refined sense of cinematography or production value or direction as Joel and Joe do.
Okay, you're the layman. That's why we brought you in.
That's
to speak for the 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Thanks, Joel.
Mm-hmm.
I just
so rude.
It's for me. It's just entertaining and it's fun to watch and I laugh a lot. And really, that's all I want out of a movie.
That's
to be entertained.
Yeah.
I'm a simple creature. I have simple needs.
It's no Schindler's List.
Or Sophie's Choice.
Neither of which I've actually seen.
Yeah, I give you that.
So that's all I've got to say.
Well, it's
about
hard
that.
To argue with that.
Yeah.
With
all right, well, Joel. What did you feel like it did right?
You know, I actually enjoy the scene with Jim Belushi. I like the idea that there's this underground black market run by fake Santas.
Uh-huh.
They're holding back all the hard to find toys, and they're selling them at like triple the cost.
Uh-huh.
So that's the sequel right there.
Yeah,
and Phil Hartman somehow
Christmas
is involved.
Black market.
Yeah, there you go.
black Christmas.
A black market Christmas.
And just the fact that it gets so out of control, and there's like a ninja Santa that shows up with like candy cane nunchucks at one point, and then like a giant Santa. That whole fight scene was.
Oh yeah,
that was so weird. Yeah, he punches a midget Santa and he flies back.
See, even she's you're reliving the moment in her head.
No, the scene with the candy cane nunchucks.
Yeah,
I mean that when the candy cane nunchucks come out, I lost it. I was,
it's true.
I was, yeah.
I missed this. I missed the candy cane nunchucks.
You know what scene we're talking about, right?
Yeah, no, I know punches. The scene. I must have missed the nunchucks.
It's one of those blink and you miss it sort of scenes because he gets dispatched fairly quickly. But I thought that was the only scene in the movie that had that right mix of comedy and kind of over the top.
Uh-huh.
It felt surreal, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And if the film could have maintained that, again, I think Schwarzenegger's bringing everybody down. And it's really painful to watch everybody overcompensate for him.
Uh-huh.
Is this supposed to be what it did right or did wrong?
This is what it did right.
I went into what it did wrong. So I like that scene with the bad Santas.
The bad Santas. Mm-hmm. All right. But for me, Phil Hartman.
Yeah.
Phil Hartman was the only real shining beacon in this movie, at least consistent. You know, there are little things here and there that even I laughed at. Like, there's some radio, like when they went to the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the few times where I've seen like a radio station in a movie and I went, all right, that's kind of actually
done
accurate.
Right. It's
you know,
one guy.
It actually kind of, yeah. Well, it's in an
Mall.
Office building,
mm-hmm.
and they go into the door and there's the studio. You know, it's not like crazy. You go and there's the carts. Everything's on the wall. You got the cart machines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the door has a fucking lock on it. You know, I'm like, okay, this is like a lot of studios that I've worked in where a lot of times you watch movies, they have radio stations. You're like, it's nothing like this. There's no way. That's not how a radio station operates. So at least there was that. And Martin Mull. Yeah, we didn't even talk about, you know, ponytail Martin Mull.
is that how you felt coming into the studio today, Katie?
Like,
were your dreams dashed?
No, not at all. Yeah. I've always been fascinated by radio stations. This is actually the first time I've ever been in one.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
They blow my mind, and I was not disappointed.
Oh, well, there you go.
You guys aren't allowed to have sex in here. You cannot. You cannot.
That's what makes it dirty, Joe.
Yeah, I don't want to make
it
dirty.
If we were allowed,
I don't want to make it
dirty. There wouldn't be any fun.
I don't want to do
we
that.
Can't make, I'm uncomfortable now. All right, so what did it do wrong?
don't start with me.
That's too bad. Man, it all comes down to the casting with Schwarzenegger. Why would you put him in this movie? Why? I understand it's his vehicle, but there are any number of other stars.
Did he produce?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, I don't think
this
he
is
did.
One of these things where the studio has him on like a 12-picture deal, and there's only, you know, so many, not Rambo movies, what's his thing?
Terminators
and Predators and things that he can make. So if we have to throw him, you know, this bottom-of-the-barrel Christmas comedy.
Yeah, it felt like... What did he started with the family comedy stuff or with the comedy work? He started with like Twins.
Kindergarten Cop was the first one.
Kindergarten Cop was the first
and
one.
And that's amazing. I
My
love that
favorite
movie.
Favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Really? Cuz have you watched it recently?
Does it not hold
it's
up?
Not a
no,
demo.
It doesn't hold up.
Oh,
my God. It really
does. Yes, it does.
Oh,
it was on a marathon like last year.
But the kids are so cute.
I watched it like five times
but
in a row.
The kids are so cute.
They are. They're precocious. And
isn't the kid in that name Jamie too?
Jamie?
Isn't there a Jamie in that one?
I just remember the little girl saying
that. That was the name of Van Damme's son in Sudden Death.
What is it with our... Oh, my God, you're totally right.
Yes!
They're playing on his accent is what they're doing.
Holy shit.
Are. We need to
Built
get
in comedy.
There's a YouTube mashup in the making right here where it's just like clips of them saying Jamie.
Of saying Jamie. There must be
Jamie. Jamie. Jamie.
Maybe it's the only children's name he can pronounce.
I don't think he's doing a very good job of pronouncing
his name. He can pronounce, he should have named his son Victor, because he likes to say Victor. Victor.
Victor.
All right, so what did it do wrong? Schwarzenegger, the casting of Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, there's no need for him to be in this movie. It could have been successful if they would have had somebody else in it.
It was successful, though. The movie was a success.
I was just going to say.
No, but it could have been an artistic success.
Yeah.
Right now, it's just a financial one.
And
again,
get off your high horse.
But again, I mean, playing into the irony, you know, this is an awful movie. It's devoid of any creativity, and yet it still went on to make millions, much like the selling of the Turbo Man toy
oh, God.
After the fact.
For me, I think the worst thing...
Sorry to bring it down.
The worst thing is just... There was no... It felt like there was no second draft of this script. It felt like they just kind of... Let's just put it down on paper. In fact, I think... Didn't the studio get sued? Because this movie like ripped a lot of stuff from a pre-existing script.
And lost. Yeah, a guy... I don't remember what he... I think it was a mailman, actually. He said he wrote out the... I don't think he didn't write the script, but he had the idea for the story and sent it into them.
And sold it. And someone actually bought the script that he sold. Mm-hmm.
And he didn't see a lick of the profits.
Yeah, but... I hope it wasn't this. Again, there was no second draft. There was no, there's no forethought. Like we set up, there was that whole Chekhov's gun with the karate that Jamie took karate lessons, and we bring it back like an hour and 40 minutes later where he kicks Sinbad in the junk. But there's no, nothing's plotted out. Nothing's planned. It's just a whole bunch of, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this. And nothing is really connected even to the... To the point where we find Schwarzenegger's like at his wit's end and he decides he's going to burglarize his neighbor's home.
Yeah. Now, is that before or after he punches the reindeer?
This is it's before. It's prior right to, before. Yeah. Because he's caught and then left in the house. They leave
that,
him.
That he
in
almost
the house.
Set on fire.
On fire.
Yes. Yeah, they leave him there and then the reindeer comes back and he punches it.
Yeah. It's just bad. Again, with the anger management thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
He's on the precipice of sanity there. I mean, he's going off the deep end.
That's how I felt watching it.
It's too ambitious. It's a horrible script that ended. It was too ambitious.
Yeah.
When you're casting someone like Schwarzenegger in this.
And Sinbad.
Well, I don't know if Sinbad's ambitious. I don't get what the appeal was with Sinbad. I think if you're going to cast somebody like Sinbad because of his size, you need to make him more physically imposing as a force that works against Schwarzenegger. Otherwise, you may as well have just cast Pesci because he's a guy that could have held his own.
Can you imagine Pesci in this role?
I'm very curious what this movie would have been like if Phil Hartman played the Schwarzenegger character and Pesci played the Sinbad character.
The Sinbad character? It would have been great. We wouldn't be talking about it on this podcast right now because it would not be a bad movie.
Yeah, we might be referencing it as how to do it right.
We'd be sitting around a fire holding hands watching it and smiling and laughing.
What do you think, Katie?
We wouldn't. No, I think the chemistry between characters was not even existent. Phil Hartman was having chemistry all over Rita Wilson. But
and every woman on the block,
and
apparently.
The moms on the block. No, I don't. Obviously, it was a casting issue, script issue, whatever. But there was just no chemistry whatsoever between any of the characters.
No,
and it's like, could you at least try to get like a father son thing going on, or a husband wife thing?
No.
Nothing. There was absolutely nothing.
Nobody connected.
Rita Wilson's the best.
Rita Wilson was trying, and Phil Hartman.
Yeah.
Those two, like the scene that they have, the scenes they have with each other are bearable. Like you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, they're great for their awkwardness. Yeah. You know, it's good. But yeah, other than that, nothing.
All right. So what we do with every one of these movies that we watch is eventually we come to the point where we recast it with actors today. How would we have retooled this movie and released it to a modern audience? And I want to start with you, Joel.
Sure. Well, this is my favorite part of the show, and this week I'm going to enjoy it even more because we talked about our last week's episode, which was Jack Frost, and how these movies are so similar, just in theme and the whole kind of deadbeat dad, you know, trying to make their son happy and going through all these circumstances. So why don't we just get the cast from Jack Frost?
Yeah.
And do this movie. So instead of Arnold Schwarzenegger, we'll have Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton can play that father. You know, he can play exasperated. He can do the physical stuff. He can internalize the comedy. I think it'd be great for all those scenes. We get for the Phil Hartman character, we get Mark Addy. Of course, you remember him from Jack Frost. He was what has he been in?
He's Robert Baratheon from Game of Thrones.
That's right. So he's playing the Phil Hartman character, trying to hit on, of course, Kelly Preston, Michael Keaton's wife.
Oh my God!
Instead of the Rita Wilson role, of course, nothing changes there. And then for the Jake Lloyd character, we get Hayden Christensen. older Anakin Skywalker from the Star Wars prequels. Because, you know, he could play that same part. He would just be a little older, a little brooding.
That would be so amazing.
But I think the a lot more chemistry there.
And, that would make me so happy.
The themes would play.
Oh, God.
And then, of course, Henry Rollins in the Sinbad role.
That would be, he would actually be more physically imposing.
Yeah, right? He would give Arnold, or in this case, a Michael Keaton,
his
money.
Yeah. Katie, did you do a...
You know,
casting for this?
I didn't have time.
I prepped her at the last
minute. To prepare, yeah.
Oh, man.
I've only got one recast.
Okay.
I want to see Shaq as Sinbad.
Shaq as Sinbad, yeah.
Oh,
that's
my God.
A good bit of casting.
And, you know, him and Schwarzenegger, their acting levels are right about par.
I would almost say Shaq is better than Schwarzenegger.
Shaq might be better than Schwarzenegger. You're right.
I mean, I've seen Blue Chips, but
I saw Shazam.
Kazam.
Yeah, I saw Kazam.
That's that app you use to figure out what a song is.
That's right. Kazam.
All right. So for mine, or starting with Howard, because we went with an action star to play this family man role,
Jean-Claude Van
Damme. I went with Liam Neeson.
Ooh.
Yes.
I have a very specific set of skills.
because ever since I saw Liam Neeson in the Warwick Davis show, Life is Too Short, where he comes in and he talks about how he wants to do improvisational comedy, I died. I would love to see him do like some weird physical
comedy movie.
That
has he ever
amazing.
Done?
I don't think so.
Like
other than Darkman, like the last 10 minutes of Darkman.
Has he ever done an intentional comedy?
No.
Okay.
So as Howard, I've got Liam Neeson.
Nice.
The Sinbad character Myron, because Sinbad is a comedian, and I feel like okay, we should probably find someone who's kind of popular as a comedian now. Louis C.K.
Oh, nice. I can see
so
that.
He playing the mailman.
For a second there you were going to say Kevin Hart.
Oh, my God. Kevin Hart would have been great. Why did I think of Kevin Hart? I'm gonna
the running theme.
He's going to be Jamie. He'll be Jamie.
Jamie.
Kevin Hart as Jamie. No, Liz, you know, Rita Wilson, you know, she's kind of the she's the every woman. She's she's funny. She's witty. She's kind of snarky, though. She's got a little sarcastic side to her.
Yep.
I went with Tina Fey.
Tina Fey and Liam Neeson. What a formidable couple.
Like Schwarzenegger and Rita Wilson.
Who's on top? Jesus.
for Chamie.
Chamie.
I cast Atticus Schaefer from that show The Middle.
Yeah, yeah. That kid's good.
Kid's a good kid. You know, he always looks young.
Thirst.
I mean, I know that's kind of part of the condition.
Michael J. Fox if he's not a
You know, we could have used the kid who plays Michael J. Fox's youngest son in his show.
On the show.
Is actually a pretty good actor, too.
I haven't seen that show.
It's all right. It's cute.
Yeah.
And so Ted, the Phil Hartman character, you know, I thought about SNL alum. And I was like, you know, I know I mentioned this in one of our previous episodes. You know, Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah.
I think he'd be good as Ted. Yeah. He could be smarmy and, you know, kind of sleazy. And if not him, Paul Rudd.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd.
So, and
age
I would.
Age appropriate. Probably.
I would do it the same way as this one was marketed as just a comedy, an outrageous physical comedy. And if I can't get Liam Neeson for Howard, I would go with Chris Hemsworth.
Thor?
Yeah. I wanted to get an actor who wasn't known for any kind of comedic stuff at all.
Well, he does have to put that Turbo Man outfit on at the end, and he would look smashing, wouldn't he?
Oh, my God. But now it makes me want to see Liam Neeson in it even more.
That would be awesome.
Just Liam Neeson's tall, lanky, I'm Turbo Man, goddammit. All right.
Awesome.
So let us know who you would put in a remake of the movie, or just let us know your general thoughts about the flick. You can write us. We've got our email. It's theeditingbay@gmail.com. You can also write us on Facebook, our Editing Bay account. Just search The Editing Bay if you're not already following us. And you'll see the picture that Joel put together of a woman with her eyes bleeding, which is exactly how I felt after watching this film. And if there's anything that you'd like to hear us talk about, you can always send your suggestions to us there. And I want to thank you, as always. Thank you for listening. Katie, thank you for joining us.
It was my pleasure.
In defense of Jingle All the Way.
And really, all Christmas movies.
Defending them all?
All of them.
Well,
so now we got to figure it out. Yeah, join us next week. Join us, won't you? that's about all I've got. So my name's Joe.
I'm Joel.
We are the Editing Bay, and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to the Next Wave Radio Network.
That's fucking gold.